are to the ones based on this scale model, an absolute biomass reference point. In addition to adjusting the biomass reference points, which has to be done by a framework, it's an opportunity to address a number of issues, and many of which are simply administrative, but one of them which has some biological implications, and that's the first one on the list, days at sea carryover. In framework four, the plan development team recommended 4 days at sea carryover, basically because 10 days at sea carryover was a carryover from the multi-species plan days at sea carryover provision, which was 10, at a time when the fleet days at sea in the multi-species was 88. But in the monkfish fishery, the baseline was 40. In framework 4, it was being reduced to 31. So 10 days at sea represented a much more significant part of the allocation than it did when it was applied to an 88-day allocation of multi-species. So the PDT recommended 4 days at sea. The committee considered the PDT's recommendation and modified it to 6 days at sea. And ultimately, the council, in considering Framework 4, did not adopt the committee's recommendation and took no action, which kept it at 10 days at sea. And in the letter from Pat Kirkle on Framework 4, she discusses the need for the council to consider this because it represents a significant likelihood that the target TACs would be exceeded. And in fact, in 2006, where this 10 days at sea carryover was applied on top of the 12 allocated days at sea in the southern area, you look at the days at sea usage, and in fact, they used about 50% more days at sea than would have been available had they stuck to their 12. And the landings came in, 50 or 60% over the target TAC. You could almost say that was attributable to the large number of carryover days at sea available to the vessels there. So if the council wants to keep the landings within the TAC, and that is based on our calculation of the days at sea and trip limits that we did at the PDT level, then you want to reduce the number of days at sea available to the carryover, because that's kind of a way to circumvent the model results, the model expectations, I should say. So that's one issue for the council to consider in Framework 5, is modifying the carryover days at sea. Another issue has come up basically because people in the industry have raised it to me and to the regional office staff. And that has to do with the day gillnet category and the trip gillnet category in the multi-species plan, which was adopted in the original FMP, but because at that time all of the monkfish gillnet vessels were fishing as day gillnet vessels, there was no trip gillnet category adopted in the monkfish FMP. So multi-species trip gillnet vessels that are also fishing on a monkfish day now have to bring all their monkfish gear in. Day gillnet vessels don't. And so this kind of is a request from the industry, and we need to have a conversation about it if we want to resolve it, whether or not the monkfish plan should allow multi-species trip gillnet vessels to leave their monkfish gillnets in the water. Something that has to be talked about. We're not making a recommendation here on any of these things as to what the council should do, simply bringing up these are the things that the committee needs to deal with or could deal with in the framework if the council desires it. The third one is the minimum mesh issue for limited access monkfish vessels that also hold a multi-species limited access permit. And right now, under Framework 4, a vessel that fishes both multi-species and monkfish gillnets in the northern area, if they're on a multi-species day, they can haul both gears because of the minimum mesh size. But if they're on a monkfish day, they're required to use use the 10-inch mesh. Trawl vessels that are on a monkfish slash multi-species day, however, can use northeast multi-species regulated mesh, are not limited to the 10-inch mesh. Under Framework 4 now, vessels can go out on a multi-species day, and if they exceed their monkfish incidental catch limit, declare a monkfish day while at sea, and they've already hauled their monkfish gear and their multi-species gear, but now they're on that trip is a monkfish trip. But they're not in violation. So all this rule would do is say, even if you call in before you start a trip and declare a monkfish day, you're not required to only fish the monkfish gear. You can haul your multi-species nets because they can do that already. It's really an administrative thing to kind of clean up what they can do already. If they wait to call in until they start returning to port, they can haul their multi-species gear. So it's basically say, let them do it even if they call in before the trip starts. The next item is a little more complicated and may be really outside of the purview of the monkfish plan, but it has been raised, so it's in this document, and it may be something the council wants to consider or not. And that is, it's kind of two issues. One of them is vessels in the southern area that have a multi-species limited access permit are now required to use a VMS. But they only use their multi-species days because of the requirement to do so when they're on a monkfish day at sea. They're not going out on multi-species fishing. And so that's the first half of the issue. They sort of object to the VMS on that basis. But an extension of that issue is that prior to the VMS requirement, or if they don't have a multi-species permit, a monkfish-only vessel can front-load the clock. That is, they call in a day or two before they leave the dock and then go out and haul their gear and come back with 2 or 3 days worth of fish, and they get charged for it, but they really have only been out one day. And there's, technically there's not really a problem with them doing that, because they take a chance they're not going to get the fish and they've blown those days. It's the same, on the other hand. But now that they're required to use a VMS, the ones that have a multi-species permit can't do that. Because the day that sea clock starts when they cross the line, and it stops when they come back. While the other vessels who are on the call-in can continue to do that. And I think they feel there's an inequity there. The next issue that's in the memo is the three-hour rule, which was adopted based on the same rule in the multi-species plan to give vessels the opportunity to leave the dock and turn around if the weather's bad or if they have mechanical problems and not be charged 15 hours for the gillnet vessels that are automatically charged. But anecdotally, we're hearing that vessels are, when the monkfish are in closer to shore, going out under the 3 hours, hauling their gear, the gear that they can haul in a couple hours and get back to the dock, bringing a whole day's trip limit worth for 3 hours charge. And in some cases, even doing that twice in one day. That's clearly outside the spirit of the three-hour rule, which is to accommodate circumstances and not have them charged 15 hours unnecessarily. So perhaps the council wants the committee to develop some alternatives to address this, including not allowing a vessel that has fished for 3 hours or less to land monkfish. And there may be some other alternatives that we can come up with to address this problem. The next item relates primarily to vessels fishing in the Mid-Atlantic regulated mesh area, where the monkfish incidental catch limit is 5% of the total weight of fish on board on vessels fishing with what's considered large mesh in that area, fluke mesh principally, or larger. What is apparently happening is vessels are loading up with skates, bait skates, fishing with large mesh, and then getting the 5% of monkfish, which in some cases can represent a significant amount of fish. There's a couple of options that might be considered here. Placing an overall cap on retaining the 5%, placing an overall cap, or simply just setting a single possession limit and doing away with the 5% rule. I think that either one needs some discussion. I'm not recommending one or the other or suggesting that either one of them is any good, but those are some possibilities. Again, the committee can come up with this if the council directs it to. And the final item is another sort of administrative one, and that is right now vessels in the northern area are required to obtain a letter of authorization to fish for monkfish because initially of the differential trip limits and other regulations between the two areas. But now that the VMS is being used with vessels fishing the northern area, the need for a letter of authorization has been questioned by some members of the industry. So the possibility to eliminate that requirement exists. And we just point out that there still are differential incidental catch limits between the two areas, and so that may raise some enforcement questions if you do eliminate the letter of authorization. And these are the issues that have been raised. They're principally administrative. I think in the very short time period that we have to develop this framework, I don't see any of these as really being requiring a major amount of analysis that would be an obstacle to completing and getting to a final meeting by November. It's going to be tight anyway, but most of these are administrative or sort of logical kinds of things rather than requiring any extensive biological or economic analysis of that would take a lot of time and model running and so on. So I think it's doable, but, you know, it's up to you to, if you want to pull any of these off, this will be basically our marching orders to the committee, which is going to meet on October 3rd in Warwick, Rhode Island. And then, you know, we'll have some technical work and another committee meeting and advisors meeting and make that November deadline.
Okay, before we get into discussion, I'd like to get a motion up on the board. John Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that the seven issues outlined by Phil in his September 4th, 2007 memo to us, as well as the recommendations from the SAW 46 regarding the biological reference points be forwarded to the Monkfish Committee for consideration.
Seconded by Jim Salisbury. I assume you mean to initiate Framework 5?
Yeah, it would be to consideration through initiation of Framework 5.
Okay. Pat Kirkle?
Well, that was going to be my first point, that we need to initiate first, so that's good. I've looked at these issues, and I know Phil says that there's, you know, this can be done before the November Council meeting, and that there's not a lot of analysis with some of them, but there are some fairly large policy issues with some of them. It seems to me that, I would move to amend to exclude items 2, 3, and 4.
We'll get a second first.
Oh, sorry.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rip Cunningham. Okay, Pat.
Thank you. Sorry. The 2, 3, and 4 don't directly address reductions in mortality, and in fact, they might even compromise our ability to achieve the mortality objectives, including 1, 5, and 6 go directly to the issue of whether or not we would be able to achieve mortality objectives, and I think that's what we should be focusing on here. On number 7, I'd actually recommend that our staff work with enforcement and the PDT to make a recommendation on whether or not we should retain the LOA and whether that's helpful or not in the to the enforcement process. But as I said, the 3 that I proposed to remove, I think, actually potentially increase mortality or create some complications with respect to mortality. And I'd rather see this be a streamlined framework that deals just with our ability to achieve fishing mortality targets and the new information from the SAW, special SAW, SARC, that was held.
Anyone else on the motion to amend? Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't support the motion to amend. I would like to have those issues at least brought up with the committee and considered. I'd like to, particularly, there's one in particular I'm interested in, but I would like to have them at least considered by the committee and perhaps listen to some reasoning behind them. So I don't support that at this time. Thank you.
Jim Roll, then Dr. Jim. Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I would have is if we go with this, if this amendment passes and we reduce this list by these 3, when is the next potential scheduled monkfish action? You're getting ready to set priorities, and you know, of course, we don't want to get in a situation where we forego the opportunity to take further action. But if in fact, and I do agree that, you know, the mortality goals are number one goal here, but you know, I look at this as an opportunity to resolve some of these other issues, and none of it's been before the committee. So do you have any idea at all, or will that be determined when you go through your priority list in November?
It will be determined then in November, Jim, but I think right now the straw man that the council's going to look at has us starting an amendment in 09. Okay. Jim Weinberg.
I'd just like to suggest a correction in the wording. It's not SAW 46. It should say Northeast Data Poor Working Group, Monkfish.
It wasn't SAW 46?
No.
Okay. Anyone else on the motion to amend? Anyone in the audience? Greg.
Greg DiDomenico, speaking on behalf of Monkfish Defense Fund. We would like to see all 7 alternatives fleshed out. during the October 3rd or 4th committee meeting in Warwick, Rhode Island. We'll have several fishermen there that will explain some of these issues, and hopefully we'll be able to shed a little bit more light on them to the committee in a more, when they can really get into some specifics about the issues. And I hope that they can explain them certainly better than I can, and I think they will not be a problem regarding meeting, mortality targets or fishing targets, and hopefully will be kind of conservation neutral. Thank you very much.
Greg, anyone else? Mr. Libby?
Gary Libby, Midcoast Fishermen's Association, Port Clyde, Maine. What we'd like to see up our way, at least for the northern zone, would be an allocation of monkfish. So if we do ever get a sector proposal through, we can get away from the days at sea regime through that, and we can have an allocation of monkfish instead of being charged a day if we go over the 5%. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Libby. Mr. Platts.
Ted Platts, Newport, Rhode Island, monkfish gill netter. I'd like to have a crack at the committee meeting at all seven of them. I'm not well informed on a couple of the ones that Ms. Kirkle has removed. I am on number four. I think that should be included at any cost. One of the issues associated with this is fishermen safety. Right now you have fishermen up and down the coast sitting outside the demarcation line waiting for their clocks to expire. This leaves us in close proximity to shipping lanes. It leaves us out dealing with the weather. We're sitting out there in dense fog advisories close to shipping lanes, waiting for a clock to expire that is a requirement of groundfish regulations. So we're not catching any groundfish. It's a real problem. It's a safety issue. The Coast Guard, I know, is aware of it, and I've received commentary from them that they're very much opposed to fishermen having to sit outside the demarcation line when previously we used to sit up in the bay or in some protected area out of harm's way. I think it's a matter of time before there is a casualty, and it's not going to look very good to have a casualty for a regulation that has nothing to do with the species being pursued. Thank you.
Mr. Platts. Okay, back to the council on the motion to amend. Pat Kirkle.
I didn't sense that anybody wanted to get into these individually, so that's why I didn't go through the individual issues. But just very quickly, the trip gill net issue, there's a reason why we didn't authorize trip gill nets in the monkfish fishery. We did authorize it in the multi-species fishery, but only with the understanding, or only because there were some vessels who couldn't physically bring in their gear. I don't think we want to go there in monkfish. It does raise protected resource issues. The minimum mesh size issue, it's portrayed as an equity issue, but the reality was, again, that the argument in the monkfish fishery management plan was that there was a larger mesh size for the gill netters because they could, in fact, target monkfish and the trawl vessels in the north couldn't. So there was a reason for that at the time, too. And then the front-loading issue, we've eliminated it in the multi-species fishery. This is effectively a running clock. There's no reason to have it in the monkfish fishery either. We have the same concerns with the running clock-type concept in monkfish as we did with multi-species. So, just quickly, that's my very, very brief summary of my thinking on these three issues, and I just don't think it's worth any of our time to spend a lot of time debating them.
Anyone else on the motion to amend? Dave?
I guess I just need a little help with number four and the issue that was raised about having to hang outside a demarcation line. How does that fit in with the changes that were made in groundfish?
In groundfish, we eliminated the running clock because it did, in fact, impact on fishing mortality goals by allowing people to catch more than the trip limit and then run their clock to accommodate whatever they'd caught. And so I think it's the same situation here.
Sally?
Yeah, I think sometimes we kind of lose perspective on how complicated things are, and this is pretty amazing to listen to Phil describe this, and I think it kind of washes over us, and we don't realize how complicated it is. And you know, part of the reason I support this motion is because I think we need to be prioritizing the actions that need to be taken. I do have a question just in the context of the whole motion, both the motion to amend and the underlying motion, and I just don't remember when and in what context we're going to be developing catch limits and accountability measures for monkfish, so I just need a reminder for that. Okay. 2009,
we're planning on starting a new amendment to address ACLs and AMs.
Thank you.
Paul Howard.
Phil, on number four, if in fact the council directs the committee to take that up, wouldn't we have to today initiate a groundfish action to make that change? I don't think we can adjust the groundfish multi-species plan with a monkfish action, can we?
Can I defer to Gene on that one? I think you're right, but I don't want to say something that's not correct.
Right. If that's what's required, if this is a multi-species reg, then that's correct. It would have to be a joint groundfish framework.
Dave Gaethel?
Yeah, I wanted to point out another problem with four. I support Pat's motion. This would have potential mortality increases in northeast multi-species, because if they were, you know, if you split these up, then those days can be leased away. They say they don't use them. Somebody's going to use them. They're going to enter the multi-species fishery, and you know, it's going to increase groundfish mortality. So I just think this is, you know, a bad idea all the way around. And like I said, I support the motion.
I don't understand it enough.
Dave Preble.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My concern here is, and I understand everything that's been said, but there is a rather unique situation in southern New England, and I think that what we have is a safety issue, and I would like to at least see it discussed. I'd like to see it at least brought forward. I don't know if there's any way at all. Gene said that we'd have to initiate a groundfish action. Is there any way it can be done, or some kind of relief can be entertained for the people that are in that unique situation where they catch no groundfish at all? It's a small boat fishery, and they wind up sitting in sometimes really nasty weather, dark, foggy, outside of the demarcation line, waiting for the clock to run. I just seems to me there must be some way of dealing with that. Is there a way of dealing with it?
Jimmy Roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Procedurally, this is a little bit awkward. I know this is a joint plan. And right now you have got one council is going to be weighing in to what the committee is going to talk about, and the other council being silent, or almost silent. And I, while I don't object to that, it may, in fact, impact this amendment, taking a package of options and narrowing it down before it even goes to committee without having it discussed with the other council. Recognizing that MID is not the lead council on this. I'm not totally uncomfortable with it, but there may be a way around it if you do not amend it, or if you change the wording that you suggest that these three alternatives be discussed, but not be the priority goal of this meeting. In other words, I don't know how long this meeting is going to go and how quickly they're going to be able to rectify some of these situations. But there may be a different way to word this that accomplishes the puts the emphasis on all of the options that that relate to the biomass target and allow these other issues to be discussed. And I remiss in not mentioning this before, but at the 8 years at this committee, this Gene's opinion on what the committee for, or the general counsel's opinion for what the committee could do with monkfish versus groundfish has always been a problem. It's always been a problem. There's always been some questions back and forth. So if there's a way to forward this entire package to the committee and let them go through it with a statement that says you know, we would like to put the emphasis on the mortality reduction. I don't know that we wouldn't be better served. I do think there's some issues associated with not only four but others that are broader than just policy calls, and they may in fact take more time, and they may not be able to be completed in four. It's possible, but at least have them have a crack at it. So I'm looking for guidance from you, Mr. Chairman, on the best way to go here. But MID will not have an opportunity to talk about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I've never known you to be silent, but no, I think you've offered up a different way to skin this cat, perhaps reprioritizing the way the committee addresses these issues. That may be one way to go. I would just remark, as I'll take some more comments, but I'd remark that the one item that people have commented against the motion to amend seems to be number four. I haven't really heard anyone talk about item two and item three. That isn't to say that there aren't concerns. Not everybody's here right now to talk, but item four seems to be the one issue that people are continuing to focus on. It also seems to be the issue that we have an outstanding question in my mind as to whether or not we need to initiate a groundfish action in order to accomplish it. Doesn't mean we have to answer that question here today. You know, we'll let the vote be what the vote is, and the committee will, since I'm going to chair this committee as I did for Framework 4, I'll work with Phil to prioritize the issues and address them. So, taking the lead from you, Jim, that's certainly what I would be doing anyways, but you've reinforced that. I want to make sure the people in the Mid-Atlantic Council understand that as well. Anyone else on the motion to amend? Rip?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question, I guess, of Paul. I think I misunderstood what you said. You're saying that if you allow the front loading of the clock for the monkfish, that is when you have to do the framework for groundfish. Thank you.
Just to correct that, Rip, the framework, the northeast multi-species overlap, Rip, is because of the VMS. Right now, vessels in the monkfish fishery that don't have a multi-species permit and are not required to use a VMS can and do use that front load capability. And it's not the other end of, in other words, if you start the clock before you leave and you spend 2 or 3 days at the dock, you're taking a chance that you might not catch the fish to account for those days that you were sitting at the dock. It's not that it's not like running the clock at the end of the trip. You've gone out, you've caught too many fish, and you come in, and if anybody's around, then you keep running the clock for a while until you use up the time. It's the opposite. There is an element of risk on that. But the northeast multi-species is because of the VMS requirement, not the front-loading part of it.
John Nelson and Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, so, Mr. Chairman, along the lines of what I think you were suggesting, should we deal with a very friendly amendment to the amended motion? And that is to exclude items 2 and 3 and forward 4 to the committee for consideration, but as a secondary priority to the other items that have been that are in the main motion.
That's a possibility I was identifying. It seemed to be a path of least resistance.
I'm just wondering if that's a very friendly amendment.
Pat, are you feeling friendly? No, she's not. Okay. Do you want to make
Dr. John, right? I don't know what that means, deal with it as a less priority. Now, I hear what Jimmy's saying, but the reality is that the New England Council is initiating a framework action and is making a recommendation on what would be included in that framework action. So the Mid-Atlantic would be asked to discuss the New England Council recommendation. So I'm not sure there's really a disconnect there, although I understand that the committee meeting falls in between. Right. But still, what would go forward to the Mid-Atlantic Council is whatever the New England Council recommended for their consideration, and then the Mid-Atlantic Council could either add or recommend subtracting from that list, just like New England did. I'm not completely adverse to a friendly amendment, but I don't know what. But I really don't understand what a secondary priority means. I mean, it seems to me that means that there's still going to include it, and I don't think it's, you know, then we need to initiate a multi-species framework, and I still don't support spending the time on it.
Well, the intent, if I could, Mr. Chairman, is that the committee would review the issue and make a recommendation back to the council on whether or not to move ahead on that particular one after they've dealt with the other issues that were listed out of those seven. And then the council can decide whether or not it wants to move ahead with any other aspect of item four.
But my problem with that is the next time the council sees this will be to take a final vote on this framework. And so that's not any different than including it, basically.
Paul, and then I had Terry.
Just want to inform you that I've already talked to Dan, and Monkfish is on your next council meeting agenda. Yes, it's on that one. So that's when you'll review what we're doing now. We'll be on your
agenda. But if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, in all fairness, is what Pat's talking about, it's the timing issue. Right. That's all. But I can see this going the other way. If, in fact, you all take it out, suppose we want to put it back in after the committee. If for such a big deal, suppose MID sticks to his heels in the ground, says, okay, we want four at least considered, and then you're going to have another committee meeting to do that. And that's the one that's jumping out at MID, one that may be the one that MID has got the most concern with. What we're trying to do is make sure that we don't have to deal with it twice. And, you know, and I don't even know what the outcome would be if the one council chose one other option that the other council. We've been fortunate with this plan that we've never got to that point. We've always been able to agree on the entire package, and a lot of it's to fulfill Harron's credit. But this one might be a little different, and it's simply because the Southern Fishery Management Area was more affected by this delay in implementation of four. And it's not leaving a real good people's taste in people's mouths. At the same time, we just heard, I can't recall how many times we heard the word uncertainty associated with the new stock assessment, which I appreciate getting done. But somebody needs to recognize the level of uncertainty with everything that we've had to work with up until that stock assessment is even bigger. We did the best we could with what we had to work with. And as it turns out, it weren't that bad. It really wasn't. You know, you could have let four go through, and you wouldn't have been a whole lot worse. You wouldn't have been no worse off, because now you're putting it back in. So, you know, because of the delay and everything taking place, what I'm trying to do, Mr. Chairman, is make sure we don't have a controversy when the MID meets on Monkfish. So including four for discussion by the committee, to me, may not be a bad idea. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy. That's one of the reasons we have you here, is to help us avoid controversy. One of the reasons. Thank you. Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do support the motion to amend. It's not because I don't concur that these issues are important and need to be discussed, but yesterday's groundfish discussion helped me focus on our need to underscore the absolute certainty that the Monkfish Committee and PDT focus on the issues. And you'd mentioned about issue number two. I have issues with number two. I'm concerned about the precedent of the policy change of completely gut shooting the trip gillnet boats leaving their gear in the water. And I think that is more than a one meeting's worth of discussion.
Okay. John, did you want to see if you can make a friendly one more time?
No, I've used up all my friendliness.
You're not feeling friendly. Okay. Everyone ready for the question on the motion to amend? No, we had a lot of conversation, but it's the original motion to amend. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Eleven. Opposed? 11 in favor of the motion to amend, 1 opposed. Any abstentions? 1 abstention. Okay, now it's the main motion. Anything further? Mark Gibson.
Uh, Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to support, I'm going to vote against this motion for the reasons I stated earlier in the discussion of the reference points, biomass reference points. I don't think they're ready for prime time. I think they're dangerous, and not because of the magnitude of the reference points themselves, but because of the incentive they will provide this council to raise the tax in the areas to reduce or increase fishing mortality rate to its target and to reduce biomass to its target levels. For that reason, I won't support this motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Anyone else? Dave Simpson.
Yeah, I guess on that, I'm not sure what choice we have because it's considered the best available science. So I'm not sure what choice we have but to accept those reference points. However, that doesn't mean we need to set management policy that high, you know, set limits that high. So my thinking is support this because we don't have any choice, and then be much more conservative because for the reasons that Mark pointed out, you know, the pattern in survey indices, in recruitment, in average size of fish, everything indicates that the stock is not in great shape and by no means as rosy as the recent assessment would suggest. So.
Thanks, Dave. Anyone else? Okay, everyone ready for the question? This will define the scope of work that the committee works on. As the chair of the committee, I won't entertain any other new issues. I'm taking this as my marching orders for the work of the committee. Is everyone clear? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Ten opposed? Three opposed. The motion carries 10-3. Phil, do we have anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on to other business.